This is First Baptist Church for Sunday, April 12th, 2026.
Thank you for being here. I'm so glad I'm here.
Amen.
And I have something for you today. I hope that it is beneficial. Something that God laid on my heart. I had a completely different message, I thought, for today, but recent events and the season have guided me in this direction. I'm going to speak a little bit before I get into the scripture. One of the things that occurred to me in our Catholic brethren, they have a thing in the octave. And that means if you have a high holy day and you need to take your required communion, you have 8 days to do so. Well, we are in the octave of Easter. So I felt it was appropriate to speak some about Easter, and recent events have emphasized that. And if there was a title, it would be, After Baptism, Part of Us is Dead. Father God, I ask that you guide my words, grant me focus that I can deliver the message that you have prepared for me to deliver. It is not possible to accomplish this without you, and therefore I depend upon you, call upon you. You are the source, and I pray that you will be with us all as this word goes forth. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
So I want to share a personal note. This past week, after wasting away, I lost my dear little kitty. And it reminded me of a friend that came forward, a young lady, and she was having a really difficult time. She was talking about death. And I mentioned to her that this is one of the reasons that children have pets and feel safe. We don't have children. This wasn't something I would speak about if there were young ones amongst us. But having a pet, losing a pet, can help a child prepare for the idea of that kind of loss. Because we would pray that it wouldn't come too soon, that they wouldn't be prepared. It does happen that way. But having lost a pet, when the time eventually comes that you lose a loved one, and I said this to her, and she said, and I never had a pet when I was young. So, in a way, this was a message that helped her, but it points that out. You know, the idea that we're going to have loss, there will be death, but we'll get to this with the first scripture that said, the mystery revealed, Christ in us, the hope of glory.
Amen.
So, we had several events. This has been a glorious Easter. And these events, in a way, mirrored the event of the season. We had the moonshot. And during that moonshot, there was a period of time where the ship went behind the moon and lost complete contact. And they were praying, this is so glorious. It's okay to pray again, publicly. Hallelujah. And as they came back in contact, they were giving thanks that they had spanned this dark time and recovered. You could even say, for the first time in this message, resurrected. Then there was the airmen. They had that plane shot down, and for a period of days, in the exact timing, this pilot was lost. He climbed into a crevice, and he spent that time in that hole until he was found and recovered. Exactly, again, this idea of being cut off, spending time in the grave, and then being restored. One more. I had opportunity, and you know, we all have a way of reaching others, and we should be looking for that. I like to pray, God, Please bring us into contact with those you can reach through us. And I'd been talking with a person who performs a service for me. I won't go into that, but he revealed that he is actually Muslim. We had talked about the fact that I'm a pastor, that I serve here right down the street, and he was interested. I gave him a card. I gave him our times, our worship service, the Bible study, and he expressed interest in coming. Well, most recently we were talking together, and he revealed he was Muslim, and he asked me, well, what do you believe? And I was able to go through the whole story. We believe that we have sin and that we need a Savior. We believe that Christ died for us, that we could have our sin forgiven, washed away. And we believe that He raised from the dead, that we can have life in Him. I praise God that I had the opportunity. You know, it was a building process. I had to earn a voice with him. He got to know me, and he was willing to listen to what I had to say. I pray God might lead him to find Jesus.
Amen.
So I'm going to use some excerpts from a very difficult chapter. It's chapter 7 of Romans, and it starts, after speaking about death, till death do us part. And if you want to know more about that, you can look at Luke 20, 27 to 36, that you're released from marriage at death. Well, the point was that death, you no longer have that bond to the law. So beginning with chapter 7, verse 4. So, my brothers and sisters, you also died to the law through the body of Christ, that you might belong to another, to him who was raised from the dead, in order that we might bear fruit for God. For when we were in the realm of the flesh, the sinful passions aroused by the law were at work in us, so that we bore fruit for death. But now, by dying to what once bound us, we have been released from the law, so that we serve in the new way of the Spirit and not in the old way of the written code. Portion of us has to die. And we're looking at really baptism, what we believe transpires. The physical or the material action that represents a spiritual occurrence. When we enter that water, it's like we're with the Lord in the grave. And when we're pulled up out of the water, it's like we're resurrected with Him. This is the message that we know. That we have died to the former self, and now we have new life in Christ. Continuing at 7, verse 7, the law and sin. What shall we say then? Is the law sinful? Certainly not. Nevertheless, I would not have known what sin was had it not been for the law. For I would not have known what coveting really was if the law had not said, "You shall not covet." But sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, produced in me every kind of coveting. For apart from the law, sin was dead. Once I was alive apart from the law, but when the commandment came, sin sprang to life, and I died. I found that the very commandment that was intended to bring life actually brought death. For sin, seizing the opportunity afforded by the commandment, deceived me, and through the commandment, put me to death. There's a duality. What happens when we receive Christ? And you can think of the covering. If you're not familiar, when we have been washed by the blood of Jesus, the Lord God Father looks down upon us, and He no longer sees our sin. It's not that the sin is gone. It's forgiven, and it is covered by the blood of Jesus. He sees the blood of His Son and not our sin. He sees us cleansed because of what Christ did for us. Verse 15. I do not understand what I do, for what I want to do, I do not do. But what I hate to do, And if I do what I do not want to do, I agree that the law is good. As it is no longer I myself who do it, but it is sin living in me. For I know that good itself does not dwell in me, that is, in my sinful nature. For I have the desire to do what is good, but I cannot carry it out. For I do not do the good I want to do, but the evil I do not want to do, this I keep on doing. Now if I do what I do not want to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin living in me that does it.
Amen.
But it's that part that dies in baptism, in salvation through Jesus Christ. 21. So I find this law at work. Although I want to do good, evil is right there with me, for in my inner being I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in me, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within me. What a wretched man I am. And this is all of us acknowledging that we still struggle against sin. It is part of us, but it is dead within us. It is no longer the life that we have in Christ. It is that battle that we are in to have new life in Christ. We are at war. It's like the spiritual battle. We no longer struggle against flesh and blood, but against the evil spirits. It's almost like that cartoon was right, with the little angel on one shoulder and the little devil on the other shoulder, and they were competing for control. But it's up to us to decide which direction we take. But here's the beauty of it. As he says, what a wretched man I am, who will rescue me from this body that is subject to death? Thanks be to God who delivers me through Jesus Christ our Lord. We have a Savior. This is the message we proclaim. Part of us dies. Jesus died. Jesus resurrected. And now we have new life because of his work. Again, the mystery revealed. Christ in you, the hope of glory. So we have new life in Christ. As Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. The blood of Jesus, the covering. When God looks at us, though saved by grace through Jesus, he sees not our sin, but the blood of Jesus, the part of us that died, not erased, but forgiven. The ministry of reconciliation. This is 2 Corinthians 5:11 FF. And as Brad likes to share with us, pericope, a passage excerpted from the Bible. I'm going to have my little lesson for the week. It comes from the word folio, which means page or leaf, and it means following verses. Essentially, if I say 2 Corinthians 5:11 FF, it means until the end of that chapter. Since then, we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. Notice you can't convince. Notice you cannot force. We try to persuade. We use an argument, which we can call apologetics, as Peter said, and this is what happened with my Muslim friend. Always be prepared to give an answer to anyone who asks you for the reason for the hope that you have. Praise God, this man asked me, well, what do you believe? And this is what I know. It wasn't me, just as we say that the sin is there, but now Christ is in us. He saw Christ. I thank God that there was something in me he saw. Not necessarily me, but Christ in me, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Therefore, he wanted to know, why are you different? People should see us as God's special possession. Something different. And so he asked. So this is what we had. He asked, and God gave me, and I don't even take credit for this. God, I thank God when I revealed or shared this experience, God gave me words. Yes, reading the Bible, spending time in prayer, worship, communion, even devotion. As you build that connection, it makes it easier for God to use you that way. He gave me words. Praise God that I was able to say to him, beyond what I would have been able to imagine, I was able to share Christ with him. The hope of glory, the fact that we are forgiven, the fact that he is the one who gives us new life. Praise God. We try to persuade others. What we are is plain to God, and I hope it is also plain to your conscience, as he spoke to the Corinthians. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. Weren't we talking about that today? What is in the heart? Open the eyes of my heart. And the word tells us that what comes from the heart is truly us. And what we have a saying in the computer language, garbage in, garbage out. If we're consuming good, we're going to reflect good. If we're dwelling on the sin, our personal desires, the things of the world, that's what people are going to see. Not that we don't stumble, not that we don't have difficulty, it's always true. We have to struggle against it. But that's the difference. When it comes time to weigh, when the scales are looked upon, when he judges us, and as I say, he no longer sees our sin, he sees the blood of Jesus that has cleansed us. But what's on the other side? When we talk about reward, he recognizes what we did for him. Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we see you thirsty? When did we visit you? Whenever you did this for the least of mine, you did it for me. And know this, there's a reward in heaven. We get a reward. Now, does that mean like a reward like the earth gives, like the material rewards? No. I would say it is primarily joy. Come then, my faithful servant, and enjoy your Father, the presence of God. This is what we look forward to. The reward of knowing, thank you, Lord, because your presence in my life led me to serve you and to now know that, praise God, because of that, I can dwell in your presence forever with the joy that comes from having known I have served you, not by my own power, but by his power. Praise God.
Amen.
For Christ's love compels us because we are convinced that one died for all and therefore all died. And he died for all that those who should live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and was raised again. I talked about what's my usual process. You know, I like to get to know somebody, try to develop a relationship. It's more like a slower eroding away of the barrier that would allow me to have a voice with that person. I have a good friend. He goes straight for the jugular. He's going to let them know. He's not going to hold back. He's going to give them the full message. Praise God.
Amen.
And that can work. We all have a way. The thing is, ask God. As I say, please bring us into contact with those you can reach through us. And that's partly going to be by the way we reach others. Let him bring that person to you who's ready to hear the message. Let him bring to me the person that needs a little coaxing, convincing. You cannot force it, but you can encourage it.
Amen.
Praise
Amen.
God. So from now on, we regard no one from a worldly point of view. Though we once regarded Christ in this way, we do so no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. This is Christ in us. The old has gone and the new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Once we were separated from God. After the fall, sin came into our lives. Every human being born since has been born with sin. But thanks be to God. Who shall save us? Christ our Lord. So this is reconciliation. This is passing behind the moon and being separated and then being joined again. This is being lost and in a crevice and spending the time waiting for saving. This is my dear little kitty passing on. And I praise God that he heard my prayers and granted her an easy passing. But for us, the hope of glory.
Amen.
Being restored, reconciled. We once were separated, but now because of Christ, we can be rejoined. Reconciled to God, the Father, who desires this more than we do. He doesn't want us to suffer and die. He doesn't want us to be condemned. He would have the whole world saved through Jesus. And this is why we need to share that message.
Amen.
The old is gone. The new is here. All this is from God who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, as I have said. They're not gone. They're forgiven. They are not seen because of the blood of Jesus. And he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God.
Amen.
And I always say I feel I'm doing a good job if I'm leaving you wanting more. But this is a point I want to make, maybe the summation, but definitely a closing point. That, as we spoke about earlier, prayer, devotion, worship, these are all communion with God. It is being connected to him. Exercise that connection. Just as we say, what goes into the heart is what's going to come out. If we are spending time in his presence, consuming of the Lord, eat my flesh, drink my blood, is not just a physical action. It is the receiving of Christ, imbibing him, allowing him to take residence in us. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So I've taken up a habit, and I recommend it. I have been listening and repeating aloud these scriptures, and the first one explains. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Faith comes from hearing. We want to hear it ourselves. We want others to hear it. So therefore, if we are in the Word, proclaiming the Word, reciting the Word, hearing the Word, this is communion with Christ. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our message, consequently faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word about Christ. And now, that was Romans 10, 16, 17. This is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. You know, science originally got started by the church. There's a big fight to say, well, church and science, they're not compatible. If you're believing that hooey, you're not dealing with material. You're not dealing with what's tangible. We know that. We believe in what is unseen. The thoughts in our mind, our imagination is part of the image of God that he gave us. This is how we can know God. We can imagine, and we can imagine Him. We can say, I can't see you, Lord, but I believe in you, and I know from the things that have happened in my life, from reading your word, from experiencing what it is to share your word, that you are real. I don't need to see you to know you are real. But now science is beginning to catch up with this idea. We have patterns in our mind. The thoughts that we have become part of us. And they can take over. If you are committed to a sin, don't need to go into it, but you become that sin. That's the sin living in you. But if you consume of the Lord, you will be what? Renewed. You will be transformed by the renewing of your mind. They have discovered that when you go in a certain path over and over and over again, you create a new pathway in your mind. And this is now how we can have Christ living in us. Science is catching up with the idea that we're not stuck in the sin. We're not stuck in the demands and the desires of the material. But we have the opportunity to know God and for Him to change us. There is no old. The new has come. Now a final word. I'm experiencing this myself, and I give thanks to God, because I didn't do it, He did. How much better life is when lived as a living sacrifice to Christ. Once more to quote my friend, Christ died for you. Now what can you do but live for Him?
Amen.
How much better life is when lived as a living sacrifice to Christ in His presence. Father God, thank you. Thank you. I can only thank you because I cannot repay you. The best I can do is to accept what you have given. I accept it freely. And I pray, Lord God, that everyone in the sound of my voice would do the same. To truly commit as a living sacrifice to you, to experience the joy now and in the life to come, knowing you, serving you, and that all would receive the benefits thereof through Jesus our Lord, by the power of the Spirit, in the name of the Father. Amen.
Amen. Praise God.